empathy for those who are in these situations where your loved one is in the hospital and you can't go with them. To not be able to be there at their bedside holding their hand is really difficult. So I feel for you and with you, those of you who are dealing with that, because I've got a nice dose of it myself going on. So much for us to hold for one another, so much for us to uplift for one another. And today is about that. Today is about praising those who serve. And so I hope you do feel some sense of upliftment. I was thinking about all the news that, you know, if you're tuning in day by day into the news, it can be pretty gloomy and pretty dire these days. You know, we all know that there's 7.8 billion people on this planet and that the planet is getting quite fragile to hold all of us and our lifestyle as it has been. And yet, you know, there is always a bright side. There is always where there is a sense of something that is burning up or something that is falling away, there is a sense of rising. Like the great Arabian phoenix bird. There are stories of the rising of the phoenix, you know, in various cultures. But the Arabian bird I always have been really drawn to, because this bird, her powerful wings that rise out of the ashes, as she rises up and is reborn, she is so light on the earth. She chooses to have such a light footprint on the earth that she only lives on dew. So that is truly an embodiment of this idea of living to give and giving to live. That's certainly what this Arabian phoenix, the phoenix rising, sort of symbolizes for us. And I think it's very appropriate symbol for us right now. It's an image that I hold for us as a human family, and it's an image that I hold for myself. To be able to be in that place that is both gentle and strong, that is resilient and powerful, and yet ever so light in our footprint, ever so light in our impact of things where things feel fragile in our world and on our earth. So my current definition of service, my working definition as of today anyway, is to act with positive intent to support a person or a process, or to maintain the integrity of something that already works really well for all. And so we can be in those places where we're really looking at what works and upholding that and giving our gifts to that. And also, it's very easy right now to look around the world and see how we can support a person, a process, an organization, something that's happening in our world that might need our help, our gifts, a lift from us. And that's also a call, I think, for us. You know, service has been studied a lot, as so many of these spiritual qualities have. And what the researchers find is that those who serve report greater levels of happiness, lesser levels of depression, greater levels of self-esteem, a stronger sense of purpose. If you have ever volunteered for anything or served in any way, you know what it's like, how much you get fed by that giving. And so that's a real key piece. When we give in genuine service, whether it's large or small, we actually grow our capacity. We grow our capacity to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love God even more fully through the acts that we take. We grow our capacity to love in a more complete way than we might have known had we never acted. And so in the midst of any of this gloomy news that you might have been tuning into, today I want to focus on some of the positive stories that are out there, because there is a plethora of them. I've tapped several, and I hope that these bring you a little bit of lightness today, and a little bit of sense of that sense of praise and thanksgiving for ourselves and our service, and also all those who are helping during this pandemic, everyday citizens that are doing amazing things, simple things, but having an amazing impact. So one of the stories is Quinn. Quinn is a 13-year-old boy from Canada. And Quinn got a 3D printer about a year ago for his birthday. Now, to give you a little background on Quinn, when he was 7 years old, one of his friends was going to have surgery. And so he set up a lemonade stand, and his goal was to raise $1,000 through that lemonade stand. Well, it went out on Facebook to everybody, friends and relatives and all the people that knew the family. And then, of course, as things go, more friends and more friends of friends. And he ended up raising, at 7 years old, from his lemonade stand, $61,000. So fast forward to Quinn's life. He's now 13 years old. And Quinn hears about what's going on. He sees on the news about how all the, or a lot of the healthcare workers are having bruising around their mouths and having sores behind their ears from wearing their masks so much. And so he learns too that what might really help folks is if they had some kind of ear guard that would lift that mask up a little bit and give those spots behind their ears a break. And so he learns about what's the possibilities of what's needed and what could be made. And he goes to that 3D printer and he thinks, well, I'm going to make about a dozen of them and just see, you know, send them out or give them out and just see if it's helping people. And he thought that was that was the end of his project. Well, it turns out that they have been a major lifesaver for healthcare workers all over the world. So he has, especially in Canada and the United States, he has been sending these. He's so far made 500, and this was as of the printing. This was in the Washington Post, by the way. And so he's 24/7, that 3D printer is running, and people, once it was posted to Facebook, people kept saying, I need one, and I need one for my friend, and I need 10 for my coworkers. And so you get the idea that this has become something. He says he can make them for about 9 cents, and it is his gift to the world. So what a bright young man making such a beautiful difference in this pandemic right now and uplifting so many who are working so hard for us. I'm really moved by his story. And I think, you know, that is one of the things, is that the creativity that can be born through our compassion during these times, during any time, but these times when we're really holding each other in this beautiful, tender space, there is just that spark that can come of, what can I do? What can I create? How can I help? And creativity is one of those things that are really birthed out of our compassion. There are so many different angles to service, and so I'm going to try to hit on a few of them in our short time together. To attune, though, you know, to the resources that we have and the ways that we can serve is one of the ways that I found that Quinn was really serving. Now, I want to move to a business example to share with you now. This is a couple in Auburn, New York. Their names are Tracy Lobner and David O'Hara, and they are the owners of this new restaurant. Now imagine, you have opened a restaurant. I mean, the people that I know that are in the restaurant business, that is a big business to take on. Business can go up and down. There's just a lot to it. And so imagine that opening day is in March of this year. So soon after, as you know, the pandemic strikes and restaurants are closed down except for takeout and delivery. Well, they weren't planning on takeout and delivery at Rosa Dawes, in Auburn, New York. That wasn't part of their thing. Their farm-to-table fresh food, they were about people coming in and enjoying the restaurant. So they had to do a quick switch and adapt. But then they had another problem. Nobody in town has ever heard of them. They don't know that restaurant. They're not going to go there for takeout food. So this is one of the beautiful things that happened. Other restaurant owners started helping them boost their business. One of them took their menus and started passing them out whenever they had their own orders of takeout or delivery. Another one went by and picked up some food and tried a few of their items and posted on Facebook what he recommended. He was an owner of a popular deli in town, and people really listened to him. And then the new restaurant owner said they got 40 orders right after his Facebook post, and so it's really boosted their business. What I love about this story is, among many things, is that so often we think about business as being competitive. And instead, these business owners were all about acting from a place of compassion and teamwork and collaboration and care for one another, knowing the business for each other, not seeing one another as competitors, but as part of the same business together in the same town. So there's so many other stories, and I just want to touch on a couple others. There were some that were published in an online publication called Motherly, and one of them is from Mary Laura. She posts this: "Hey, if you have that uneasy, I need my mom feeling, but don't have access to your mom for whatever reason, I have big mama energy to share with you. My teenagers, seriously, they're completely over it. Send me a message if you need me to tell you it's okay. Now go and wash your hands, your internet mama." I love this one because it is that universal kind of love that we share, and I want to keep saying always that's available to us, you know, to tap not just our personal love, not just our love for those who are near and dear to us and our families and people that we know intimately, but this sense of brotherly, sisterly, neighborly love that we extend out to everyone, that we could be a mother, a brother, a sister, a father, a good friend to anybody, to any stranger. It's a beginning or a renewing maybe of understanding that we are all family, that we all belong to this one family, the human family, and even bigger than that, to all life, to all life forms, to all of creation. And so just that simple offering that she put out there as the internet mama, I just really enjoyed that sense of being proactive, of putting out your gifts, you know, to take the risk to say, hey, I've got this to give, I've got extra love, or I've got extra time, or I'm willing to run errands, or I'm super healthy and I want to be able to help people who are feeling more vulnerable, or whatever it is that you have to give right now. It's a really wonderful time to put it out there, to take the risk. So at the risk of too many stories, I've got one more I want to share at this time. Rebecca Mayra posted this, and it, of course, it's one of these other ones that went viral. So she was walking into the grocery store. This is early on in the pandemic. And she got this call from this elderly woman who called her over to her window. And so she went over, and the woman was sitting in the car behind the driver's seat, and her husband was in the passenger seat. And she asked Rebecca if she would grocery shop for them. She explained that they were elderly. They were in their 80s, and they were afraid to go in the store. They were afraid because they had been hearing that they were the most vulnerable population, and they weren't sure what to do. And she said that they had been sitting there for 45 minutes wondering who they could trust. And they just felt like she was the one. So they gave her, through the crack in the window, slipped her $100 bill in their grocery list. And Rebecca went in and shopped for them and put the things back in the trunk and bid each other goodbye. But I wonder what happened inside everybody. You know, that was a real process of trust that was developing there, that the couple had to wonder who they could trust. They had to go through a discernment process to tap their own intuition and also to take a risk with somebody who was a stranger up until then. And I wonder what happened in that young woman, Rebecca, to know that this couple had been waiting all that time, and for some reason, something about her caused them to feel like she was someone they could trust. What an affirmation for her to know that she seems like, or appears to be, or is felt to be a trustworthy person. Because in truth, she is. And she left us with this. She said, offer to help anyone you can. Not everyone has people to turn to right now, as this couple didn't have any family in town or anybody else to ask. So this is what it looks like, you know, when we take a chance to trust a stranger, that it can turn into this kind of really heartwarming experience of service. Service changes, or it can at least, change the way we think of each other. Instead of thinking of the people we don't know as other or stranger, they suddenly become the neighbor, the brother, the sister, this sense of extended family, this sense of universal love. And neighbors all around the world now are meeting each other, maybe for the first time. The ones that have come out on their porches to clap or to sing at night or to do exercises, as we've talked about before, or the ones who have offered to go and run errands in apartment buildings for people they had never met before. And now those places are getting to know each other, becoming friends, becoming family even, perhaps. Certainly trust in our world is building through these kinds of acts of service, these kinds of kindnesses that we are offering to one another. And these small acts can have a lifelong impact on people. I wonder for Rebecca Myra what that will be like for her for the rest of her life, to know that she was chosen to be someone who is trusted, or for that couple to know that they can trust people that they don't know, even if they don't have family around them. The genuine giver, you know, doesn't act with the expectation for anything back. There's no price tag, there's no strings, there's no conditions. When we are genuinely in that process of service, that's where we come from. It bubbles up from within us. It's the right thing to do. It's the natural thing to do. It's the thing we most want to do, and it's fulfilling for us as we do it. There can often be a spontaneity, certainly to these kinds of acts of service that we're talking about. A divine idea comes, a way to serve somebody like Quinn had, or just an opportunity that suddenly you get a call across a parking lot to come and help somebody. So it's true that gratitude and service go together. It's like they're packaged together. I think of it as gratitude sort of the bow on the package of service. You know, the contents are served up, but gratitude is a really nice bow. It's really sweet when it does have that full circle experience. A lot of times it doesn't, and we have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with, well, we don't have to be okay with it, but I want to encourage us to be okay with it, because it takes our service to a deeper place. It allows us to purify our motivations, to see that we're not doing it for brownie points, or we're not doing it for acknowledgement of any kind, or even for a thank you. We're just doing it because it's what feels like the next right action for us. And it feels like a gift that we truly want to give from our hearts, from an overflowing heart. But yet it is pretty sweet when gratitude comes as well. And so we just honor that without pushing for it, without expecting it. So while I was surfing the World Wide Web of Kindness, because there sure is a lot of kindness out there to surf, I found this. It's called The Praise Song for the Pandemic. It's by Christine Walters Painter. And as I got exposed to her work, I also got exposed to the groups that produced it for her, Abbey of the Arts and The Work of the People, and was able to make connection with them. I really love this. It's a poem, but it's put to music and beautiful images. And I think it just says it best, what this pandemic and the praise for all of us, for all those who are serving, is all about. Let's watch.
Praise be the nurses and doctors, every medical staff bent over flesh to offer care, for lives saved and lives lost, for showing up either way. Praise for the farmers tilling soil, planting seeds so food can grow, an act of hope if ever there was. Praise be the janitors and garbage collectors, the grocery store clerks and the truck drivers barreling through long, quiet nights. Give thanks for bus drivers, delivery persons, postal workers, and all those keeping an eye on water, gas, and electricity. Blessings on our leaders making hard choices for the common good, offering words of assurance. Celebrate the scientists working a way to understand the thing that plagues us, to find an antidote, and all the medicine makers. Praise be the journalists keeping us informed. Praise be the teachers, finding new ways to educate children from afar, and blessings on parents holding it together for them. Blessed are the elderly and those with weakened immune systems, all those who worry for their health, praise for those who stay at home to protect them. Blessed are the domestic violence victims on lockdown with abusers, the homeless and refugees. Praise for the artists and poets, the singers and storytellers, all those who nourish with words and sound and color. Blessed are the ministers and therapists of every kind, bringing words of comfort. Blessed are the ones whose jobs are lost, who have no savings, who feel fear of the unknown nine. Blessed are those in grief, especially who mourn alone. Blessed are those who have passed into the great night. Praise for police and firefighters, paramedics, and all who work to keep us safe. Praise for all the workers and caregivers of every kind. Praise for the sound of notifications, messages from friends reaching across the distance. Give thanks for laughter and kindness. Praise be our four-footed companions with no forethought or anxiety, responding only in love. Praise for the seas and rivers, forests and stones who teach us to endure. Give thanks for your ancestors, for the wars and plagues they endured and survived. Their resilience is in your bones, your blood. Blessed is the water that flows over our hands and the soap that helps keep them clean each time a baptism. Praise every moment of stillness and silence so new voices can be heard. Praise the chance at slowness. Praise be the birds who continue to sing the sky awake each day. Praise for the primrose poking yellow petals from dark earth. Blessed is the air clearing overhead so one day we can breathe deeply again. And when this has passed, may we say that love spread more quickly than any virus ever could. May we say this was not just an ending, but also a place to begin.
When we serve, so much gets cultivated within us. You know, there are all these different aspects when we take any one of these spiritual qualities or ways of being or one of the core values, which this is one of our core values at Unity of Walnut Creek, service. And when you begin to look at it and hold it as the gift that it is itself, you see all these different ways that are cultivated in us as we act. The trust and compassion are some of the things that are pulled from this. Creativity and innovation. Love. Our greater capacity to love. And so as we step further in and put our feet in the water of service, maybe in new ways that we've never dared to do before. Maybe the idea of reaching out to a stranger is really hard for you. And maybe thinking of yourself as innovative or creative or resourceful is not your typical go-to. But yet, as we step in, as we try new things, we find new capacities within ourselves. Service is a wonderful way for us to truly grow. And it reveals these ever-growing resources and resiliencies that we have within ourselves, I think, the potential that has not yet been tapped until we took a chance and we raised our hand and volunteered to act. Now, if serving feels like a sacrifice to you, I want to really encourage you to stop and to take a pause and to see if you can either reframe it or just back up a little bit. Because chances are, if it feels sacrificial in some way, like you're sacrificing yourself, you're sacrificing your time. I know it's often a word that's used with service, but it's not one that I like very much, because I think it gives us a little bit of a flavor that can lead us into resentment and burnout pretty easily. And service to me is not about sacrifice, it's about honor. And that's the reframe that really works for me. If I begin to feel in any way like I'm sacrificing something, I'm giving something up, and that little edge that comes with it, I know to stop myself, or at least I try as much as I can to catch myself in that time frame, in that moment, and ask, what needs to be honored here? Sometimes it's ourselves. Sometimes we need a break. Sometimes we need a chance to refill our own buckets. And that might be through your own spiritual practices or things that just really recharge your battery. Maybe it's being out in nature, or maybe it's creating something. Maybe it's painting or dancing or writing, or, you know, I don't know what it is for you, but you know what it is that refills your bucket. And so whatever that is, do that. If you're starting to feel that edge into a sense of my service is a sacrifice, instead, back up and make it an honor, because that's what it is. It's an honoring of life. It's an honoring of ourselves. It's an honoring of those we serve. It's an honoring of the things we value. It's an honoring of the divine itself. I know that that has helped me time and time again, and I hope that reframe might help you too, because when we honor both the giver and the receiver is fulfilled, it's genuine service. It's coming from that genuine place in us that feels like it's overflowing. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the stages of consciousness and that we're etching into as a collective to that stage of consciousness where it's not so much that life happens to me like a victim or by me in the sense that I'm making it happen, but it's happening through me as a channel. That's stage three, and as me is the fourth stage. So stage three, through me as a channel, is that how service feels to me when it's really moving in the direction that feels the most natural and fulfilling and genuine and one of honor. Those stages of consciousness, by the way, are from Michael Beckwith, if you want to look those up. So in summary, I'd like to just take a look at a little summary slide to touch on some of the aspects that we have talked about, these components of service. And I've got it listed as a mnemonic device, if you will, down the left-hand column there, as the word black. Because when we serve in the way where there's no price tag, we are in the black. We stay in the black. There's nothing owed. We're in that flow. It's just a free giving from a full heart. And each of those mean, the B stands for building trust, even by trusting strangers. The L for loving our neighbors, even loving universally. The A for attuning to the needs around us and inside us. The C for creating out of compassion, like our friend Quinn up in Canada. And the K for keeping our own bucket full so our service remains genuine. If you want that slide, just email me or email office@unityofwalnutcreek.org and we'll get that to you. So today was actually the day that we were going to have our annual volunteer picnic at Unity. It's always such a fun event where we have a beautiful lunch together, usually on the Unity lawn, and a time in the sanctuary where we can really honor the people who serve. And I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Unity people, for all the ways you give. It is with a heart overflowing with gratitude that I thank you for your technical gifts, such as the tech guy over here, your teaching gifts, your skills in allowing inspiration and support for our spiritual journeys to flow. We all think of our work as essential. And so this essential work gets to continue, where we continue to support one another, to care for each other. I'm blown away by the level of care we have and compassion for one another in our community, and the level of skill that we have, and ability and talents that people have, and willingness to share their time, their ties, their talents. We have so much generosity, financial as well as service. And so to all of you, truly, thank you, I bless you, and I praise you for serving us at Unity of Walnut Creek. You know, Spirit is asking more of us now. I feel like we're all getting the call, and so that's why I'm pretty excited that Greg Lavoie is going to be with us next week, because it just seems right on time to have the callings expert with us at this time. Up to 7.8 billion of us, that's sort of a mind-blowing number when you think of it, that there are that many members of this human family on this planet at this time. And that means there are up to 7.8 billion opportunities for us to care for one another, to support each other, to collaborate with one another, to innovate, to find ways that we can really support our ongoing life, but a new form of that life on this beautiful blue planet. I know that the wheels are spinning all around in the place of divine ideas and possibilities. And I know that our hearts are stirring, the heart chakras are really opening to one another now. It's a really rich time for us to tap the possibilities, and we have everything that it takes and more. We're like that phoenix rising out of the ashes. We have those powerful wings, and yet we know how to have a light footprint upon the earth. That's us. The thing we have to remember, though, the key, is to keep our own buckets full so our service is an act of honor. So let's do that. Let's keep our buckets full so that our service can come from an overflowing heart. I invite you to affirm with me as we close out our message together. I keep my bucket full and serve with an overflowing heart. God bless you.